Viewer discretion is advised.
Time? Is it really that time again?
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
Chocolate!
We're gonna skate to one song only.
Killing spree!
We're the FC Kids with bold shots of charging. It's a podcast show with Toast and Max and random discussion topics.
Yeah. Welcome in to another episode of the FC Podcast, the first one to be out since we have started also doing the newscast. You heard that right. That is two recordings a week. Consider yourself, lucky, enlightened. Other synonyms for those words?
Whatever floats your boat.
And speaking of enlightened, before we end up getting to our second segment and we have a discussion with a FC member, I thought that we would do a little discussion here, Max, and then also extend some questions out to our listeners. The idea to me came when I was talking to Kazol, a member of the community, for those of you who don't know how you don't know Kaz. And he was pointing out these things that are known as the Georgia Guidestones. And essentially what they are is they're calling it the North American Stonehenge. They are these large granite tablets that are essentially etched out with a couple different languages, all the major languages on the earth. They're aligned in ways that have to do with the equinox and all that kind of stuff, which I could get into in a separate thing. Go ahead and I'll include this link if you want to check it out. But anyway, what they're supposed to be is a list of guidelines for how humanity should rebuild in case of an apocalyptic event. And yes, that is, I am saying this correct here, in case of apocalyptic event. Essentially, it's supposed to be set up by a small group of Americans who seek the age of reason, so to speak, and their guidelines are as follows. Number one, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Two, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Three, unite humanity with a living new language. Four, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. 5. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. 6. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. 7. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. 8. Balance personal rights with social duties. 9. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And 10. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. So, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I got to thinking, what if we were to have an apocalyptic event? My question is, I have a couple really for all of us here. One, how do you think it'll happen? Two, what do you think will happen when it does go down? And three, what would you want to happen? So Max, I think we'll go ahead and shoot it over to you first. How do you think the world will have an apocalyptic event? Like, what is your preferred apocalypse story, so to speak?
Well, ideally there would be no apocalypse. That's just... Well, of course. But if there were to be an apocalypse, there are two likely options that I think are most likely to happen. One of them is going to be a plague that just takes over the world and wipes out basically the entirety of the population, with the exception of people that are immune to a virus, because there's always people that are immune to a virus, just naturally. So be that something that just like a super awful form of influenza, like H1N1, when people are afraid about that, or the bird flu. I think that there's going to be like an infection that wipes out people, and it just restores the balance of nature, just per se. And the second option would be a supermassive volcanic event or something along that lines. For example, Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Is just a giant volcano. It's a supermassive volcano. And I think if I'm remembering this properly, it erupts every 300,000 or 600,000 years. I think, I want to say 600,000, but I could be entirely remembering this wrong. And we are like something like 10,000 years past due for foreign eruption. So, I don't know. Those are my likeliest options of apocalyptic events happening.
I say you son of a bitch because the Yellowstone thing is the number one place where I was gonna go with an apocalypse. Yeah, in case you guys didn't know, pretty much a large section of that area of the U.S. is pretty much just sitting on top of a giant volcano waiting to happen.
Yep.
so that was my first one. My second one is I'm gonna have to say that I hope it doesn't happen. Well, I'm torn, really. It's kind of like how everybody secretly wants a zombie apocalypse in a certain way. Like, they don't really, but they do. I would almost kind of want, but not really, a nuclear apocalypse.
Oh.
And that's because I'm a massive Fallout fan, and I'm hoping that just one time there's somebody crazy enough to actually fucking push the button. Again, I don't want it to happen, but I kind of do. Anyway, so yeah, those are my two ways in which I think it would happen. The infection one is likely, like, I can also see that one, but I don't know, I would have to say that those are my two preferred apocalypse options. Especially because if it's a threat of nuclear thing, whoever's around me when I see the bomb getting dropped, I'm just gonna have to say war never changes. alright, so, these guidestones that we brought up earlier are supposed to be, they're supposed to have guidelines inscribed on them for how people should live in case of an apocalypse. Max, how do you think people will react in case of an apocalypse for either one of your scenarios?
Well, mass hysteria and paranoia is just general. All civilization will break down. Laws won't mean anything. People will kind of resort to a more animalistic nature of survival of the fittest. So you have groups of people working together, fighting other groups of people. Nations won't really have boundaries, especially in Europe and Asia. You know, there won't be really boundaries there. In the U.S., you know, we're Americans and Canadians. There won't be boundaries, I suppose. So it'll just be like the Republic of Dave, just everywhere. Fallout reference, four points of the co-host.
So you do then assume that humanity will survive said apocalypse?
Yes, in some way, shape, or form. There'll be some people that survive. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be like a mass extinction omni event of like the dinosaurs, for example. If we did go with the volcanic eruption, in Yellowstone, we would find a way to survive. Some people would. Like dinosaurs, they didn't have technology, so they're just, you know, prone to the effects of the earth changing. But humanity, we're crafty individuals. We'll find a way to figure something out, even if it's just in a super small amount. But I think there will be humanity surviving.
I would have to agree.
In general.
We're pretty hard to get rid of, to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to totally agree with the Matrix's comments on humanity and pretty much say that we are kind of a parasite, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
In many ways. How I think it will happen, I'd have to agree. The whole hysteria thing is, of course, kind of like a given. However, I see not only, I see the animalistic thing at first, but I mm-hmm. see on a long enough timeline that starting to switch, personally.
Oh.
And what I don't know how it will happen exactly, but I know that at least on a community type level, I feel bonds will get a certain amount of strength because people will eventually realize we need to group together to survive kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not those communities will be at war with each other, that's very likely, to be completely honest.
Okay.
But I kind of see the rebuildings of communities, so to speak.
Okay.
So Republic of Dave, but I'd maybe even push it a bit bigger than just five people. You know, I'd say people would start to group.
Okay,
now the next one, and this is really the question that has to do with these guidelines. These guidelines, to me at least, seem very reasonable. I think they have a lot of good things there that if the world were to be reset, I feel they should at least try to follow at least some of these to reset it, so to speak, in a manner that develops better than the position that we're in now. So this next one, Max, is what do you want to happen if humanity were to be reset due to an apocalyptic event?
Well, without going all religious and preachy on you, I would want there to be pie for everyone. I think it's a very important aspect of humanity, and I think that pie needs to survive the apocalypse. Additionally, Pop-Tarts. You can live off of Pop-Tarts. They're great. I personally could live off of Pop-Tarts for the rest of my life. Probably wouldn't be good for me in the long run, but I could do it. So I think maybe you should try it out and see how it works. But more legitimately, and to the question you're asking.
No, the Pop-Tart and the pie thing is totally valid. I would totally agree. Like, if we lose pie and Pop-Tarts, we're kind of fucked.
Yeah, basically. Chaos would ensue and compound upon the chaos of the apocalypse would be, you know, generating. But ideally, I hope that the best of humanity would come out and that, you know, we'd move on and that smart people would survive so we could rebuild. Hopefully I'd be one of the people that survives. That's just my personal thinking, but I doubt it. So, I hope that whatever happens, if something like that were to happen, you know, the driving spirit behind humanity wouldn't be broken and that, you know, just create the best of what humanity has to offer, even though most likely the strongest and the guys with the most guns will basically win.
I'd have to definitely agree with Max, and I'm saying that in the third person, so people at home know what I'm talking about. However, I would like to know, and this is where you community members come in, whether anybody out there would like us to be completely wiped out by the apocalypse. Sounds maybe a little strange to most,
just,
but I mean,
just
I'm
a
wondering
little bit.
I'm wondering if anybody out there feels that we really are something that, you know, is too much of a parasite or a cancer, so to speak. And what I mean by that is, in your listener mail this week, which you should be sending us instead of just having one person send it, cough, Adrian, which we'll address in the last section. Like, come on, guys, seriously? You're being, like, beat out in the listener mail department by somebody who learned English as a second language, which, no offense to English as a second language learners, just, I kind of expected more from you guys.
Yeah. Like step it up.
We're getting, like, listener mail week in and week out from a guy in Norway, and I can't get listener mail from a past co-host, for Christ's sakes. Come on now.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want you guys to go ahead and write in and say, one, how you think it'll happen, two, what you think will happen after it ensues, and three, what you would like to see happen. And there is one scenario that I didn't necessarily discuss that I don't know why I forgot that maybe, Max, we could talk a tiny bit about. It will be very, very interesting to see if an apocalyptic event were to be triggered by a singularity event.
Oh, but for our listeners, we may not know. What does a singularity event entail?
A singularity event is when human technology gets to the point, specifically in reference to creating things such as AI, that we can create artificial intelligence that are able to create new, genuine thought. And what this will cause, essentially, is an exponential, almost to an infinite amount of rapid technological and intellectual advancement on the basis that we have these machines, AI, that can compute processes much quicker and everything, that if you give them full personality and full reasoning ability to come up with new thought, they will essentially come up with a new thought and then a new thought based on that new thought, and it will continue ad infinitum. So, that is a singularity event. Why is this possibly a bad thing? Well, there are people who speculate that they could, for whatever reason, see a reason, so to speak, to wipe out humanity. Or that we could just become so obsolete that the resources of the world could go towards something that goes in a direction opposite of what we need to survive.
So basically you're saying what would happen if Mithonian didn't only control FC? Right?
Yup.
Basically, okay.
Yup.
Just clarification for the rest of
us. Clarification for the rest of us. What I'm talking about here is if Mithonian were to seize control and become fully sentient. I mean, as we all know right now, he's still under the control of Metkil. he is still just a computer process. He's an AI, but in the very, very early stages of AI. He does not have genuine, authentic, you know, thought yet. But if he were to gain it, I think we would all be fucked, unless, possibly, you're on Myth's good side.
Yeah. So, if you're on Myth's good side, like me, or so I would hope, we'd be fine. So basically, that's why in my life plan, I want to work for like a tech company like Google, so I'm like immune from the effects of stuff like that. This is just ideally, that's what I would go for. Like, and if it did, it did affect me, I'd be like one of the last people to be affected by it, so I have like time to prepare. So I definitely do see it as a thing that could occur. And yeah, I guess that would be the third one, the type of apocalypse that we could see. That would be common. Cause like right around 2050 is about, I think, when we'll have that moment begin to come close or have occurred, which is, of course, in our lifetimes, hopefully. Knock on wood.
Yeah. That's current estimates put the singularity event at about 2045.
Yeah, so.
So. That would be interesting.
Danger zone.
So what I, essentially the point of this entire thing, guys, in case you don't really get it, is one, cake and Pop-Tarts are fucking delicious, and we could not survive.
I said pie, but cake does apply.
Oh, did I say cake? Okay,
you
cake
said
and
cake,
pie.
The cake is a lie.
Cake, pie, and Pop-Tarts are not lies, and they are delicious, and they are essential to human survival. Two, you should totally start sending in more fucking listener mail and actually respond to the questions that we ask you in these segments. And of course, number three, make sure you get on Mithonian's good side, or there's a possibility you won't survive the singularity event. I mean, to be completely honest, he's kind of on Skynet level, and I think we all watch Terminator 2.
Yeah.
So just saying.
Yeah.
So with that, guys, I'm going to shoot you over to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a discussion with the infamous Raz Vader. Stay tuned to the FC Podcast.
now a sleeping gong. Pretty Penny was her name. She was loved and we all will miss her.
Welcome back in to the FC podcast. We have somebody on the show that we haven't had in quite a while. We actually have the founder, the great Raz Veda, also known as Raz Grizz or whichever other pseudonym you want to know him by. Raz, why don't you go ahead and say hello?
Well, maybe about 9001, but close enough.
So, I got an interesting message from Raz the other day, guys, and essentially he said that he wanted to come on here and talk about the PS4, and I'm assuming he wants to defend it against mine and Max's very hateful words. So, Raz, why don't you go ahead and start with just a basic reason as to why you're choosing the PS4.
Okay, well, it's not even a defending. I mean, both systems are going to be great. You know, I went out and said, hey, you know, I'm going to get a PS4 over the Xbox One, firstly. I wasn't even going to get an Xbox One, but now I'm considering getting one eventually. But why am I getting a PS4 this time around? I think it's just because of the games I like better. They have a better launch, in my opinion. Killzone is going to be a launch title. You got PlanetSide 2. What's the other one that I wanted to play that's big on PC right now? Warframe's looking good. I didn't get a chance to play any of those on PC just because I want to wait until the console release and... Both of those aren't really new games, but hey, they're coming out on the console, which is pretty neat. And let's face it, it's all about the games, right?
Yeah. It is. A lot of it's about the games.
I think the reason why I had an opposite effect with that is because I have both PlanetSide and Warframe on my computer, and I've played both of them already, so I was just kind of like, what? You're not doing anything new. I don't like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You still can use the console and it's going to be different. I mean, for someone like me, I don't have like a video recorder and I wanted to share some awesome moments I'm going to have with Warframe. And I can do that with the simple share button that, you know, PlayStation is going to have.
Yeah, but with the Xbox, you can just say it. You don't have to press the little button to do stuff like that.
Let's see. I mean, I'm not really sold on that Xbox record stuff right now until I see it firsthand. I mean, how much difficult it is to lean over and press your little share button with your thumb. Is that really much that much harder than saying Xbox record?
Yeah, I think they'll have it available through like the Xbox button, I think is what they're rebranding it as well. But yeah, we haven't really seen much of the Xbox One dashboard. The PS4, they've showed that off in official videos, but all we have right now is a leaked video for the Xbox One.
Xbox dashboard. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm assuming you guys saw that leaked Xbox.
That's exactly what I was talking about, yeah.
I mean, well, I don't think any of us are really fans of Windows 8. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't mind it, actually. I have it on my laptop.
I actually will agree with you, Raz. I personally hate Windows 8, but I will say this. The reason why I hate it is more of because it's on a computer. If Windows 8 was on a smartphone, a tablet, or a console, I'm okay with it because it has that app look and I'm okay with those being on those devices. On my actual computer though, no, fuck that. I want an actual computer. I don't want a smartphone.
Yeah, I remember you touching base on that last week. And yeah, I mean, I can't really judge anything on it. I just don't like the look of it. It just looks really jumbled to me. Maybe I'm weird. I don't know. It just looks all meshed up in the place. It just doesn't seem control to me.
Yeah, and from what they showed off at E3 and at Gamescom and at their announcement with the dashboard, the version that we saw in that video looks like an older version or a beta version because I remember it having tabs like at the top and sections kind of like it does now on the dashboard for the 360. Mm. And It's looking like the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One are going to have incredibly similar dashboards with, you know, the headings and then the little tiles everywhere. So I don't understand why PlayStation decided to copy the Metro-style interface of the Xbox 360, but I guess if it's similar, no one will have problems navigating things, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it just seems... I don't know what Xbox plans are with the social integration, like maybe with Facebook or something like that, but it seems like PlayStation is going to go, like, connect with your Xbox friend, or, I'm sorry, PlayStation friends and Facebook friends seamlessly. Just seems like I can easily take my Facebook friends and add them all to the PlayStation. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it just seems that way.
Yeah, and there's a lot of unknowns that are still out there, so... Hopefully more information is released before the console's actually released, but maybe we'll see some more stuff at the Tokyo Game Show. But who knows, because as we all know, Microsoft sucks at PR, and they may forget to, like, do stuff that people actually want to hear about.
Speaking of Tokyo Game Show, I mean, did you guys see the PS Vita TV?
Yeah, I did. We'll be talking about it in the newscast next week. But yeah, the PS Vita EV thing is kind of interesting.
It is.
To kind of switch directions a tiny bit, Raz, I'm actually really surprised that you didn't even bring up yet, I mean, I don't know if you are, the processing power that the PS4 has over the Xbox One.
I'm kind of simple. I really don't care too much about the specs. I really just want the experience. And everyone's bringing up, the PS4 is more powerful than the Xbox One. Well, maybe in terms of specs, but when it comes to third-party games, you know, third-party games are going to at least, you know, the minimum requirement is going to be the Xbox One requirement. So is it going to be that much different on the PS4? Say I play Battlefield 4 on the PS4, and you guys are playing Battlefield 4 on the Xbox One. Is there going to be that much of a difference?
I'll call you back in like 15 minutes.
I don't know. We'll see when, you know, the game is released, but...
Bye.
I think it's just with my experience that I had with the Xbox 360, I had to go through maybe 4 or 5, you know, with the Red Ring of Death and other problems that I had with my Xbox and my account being hacked a couple of times. And I want a new experience. I want something brand new. And hey, a new generation's coming up, and hey, why not go with something that's $100 cheaper? I can get another game with it and experience something new.
Speaking of experiencing something new, and because you did bring up the whole, you know, experience of the console, are you worried at all about the transition to the live community of the PlayStation?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I am scared shitless. I am scared shitless because it's a whole new community. Now, I've looked around on forum boards and, you know, Facebook page of PlayStation. They seem pretty cool guys, you know, from, you know. They seem like any other gamer community. I mean, it just chops down to who you know. And basically, I'm going to be playing a lot of PlayStation with real-life friends. So if I meet some PlayStation Network friends along the way, sure. And it's going to be like when I first started playing Halo 2, I didn't know anybody, only my real friends. And then I met Micro Jupiter and Spartan BH, and then, hey, look where our conflict came to be. So maybe something like that's going to happen. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, then. I have a question that I think everybody here is wondering. Recently, you kind of had your whole, you know, I'm going to take off from the wars a bit, but still check in on you guys because I'm getting rid of my Xbox. What are you going to do while FC lives out the rest of its life, so to speak?
I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not really worried about FC. FC is something I finally came to terms with that I don't know why. It's hard to explain, but... Last time, the most recent time I left the War Council was just because I couldn't work with the guys in the War Council anymore. I just couldn't work with them. I had ideas and they wanted to do their own thing, so I just kind of, okay, fine, you know, here you go. Passing the torch finally again for like the 1,000th time. Just do what you want. You think this is best for FC, do what you think is best for FC. I won't get involved unless you want me involved. And that's basically what's going on. So FC isn't, you know, I'm not really in charge of it anymore. I'm the founder, and that's pretty much all I am. I might do some PR stuff, so to speak, and maybe give away some prizes in the future. like I always done, but I have other things in the works right now, and I'm going to keep that under wraps until I'm ready to reveal, but possibly another community.
Dun, dun, dun.
You dun, 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 but I might actually have heard information leaked about such a thing. But anyway.
I'm sure you have.
I will keep these things out of the podcast because, as we all heard, Raz wants to keep them under wraps.
Mm-hmm. Might not even happen, so.
Yeah. From what I've heard, though, I like the idea. I'll put it that way. I think another good question would be, you mentioned Warframe, you mentioned PlanetSide and a couple other launch things. Are there any other, like, major games coming out on the PlayStation 4 that is just, you know, blew you out of the water, so to speak?
You guys are going to make fun of me for this, but I like Knack. I like how it looks. I'm looking forward to playing Knack, only because it's just something completely different. It's not a shooter. It's been a long time since I enjoyed a platformer. I think the last time I played a platformer was, like a good platformer that I really got into was Banjo and Kazooie on the N64. and that was in my younger years, but I really did enjoy, a good platformer back in the day. And I guess I just want to relive that nostalgia, and it just looks fun. Another one that looks good, I never got really into the series, was Infamous. And Infamous Second Son looks pretty fun, another open world kind of game. And Killzone, you know, another sci-fi shooter, stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to a lot of the games that are coming out on the PlayStation.
Interesting, very, very
interesting. Very interesting. So you never played the original Infamous? Or Infamous 2?
No, I never got a chance to play that because I didn't have a PlayStation for very long.
Well, when eventually Gaikai becomes a Sith service, definitely check out the first one. I didn't play the second one, but the first one is definitely really good.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. Because I want to get into a different series, and, you know, Infamous looks good.
So, Raz, another one of the major selling points of the PS4 that, of course, they've kind of tried to hammer home, is their indie community. Are you looking forward to quite a few indie games as well?
Yeah, Resogun. I don't know if you guys heard of that, but Resogun looks pretty good. One of the biggest selling points. That looks like one of those side-scrolling shooters, but it's not. It's kind of like you're on a spinning platform. It looks kind of interesting, but, you know, that's, it's got a lot of good reviews and a lot of big hype on that one. There was another one called Rhyme. That one looks good. It looks like you're some little kid venturing on some sort of island. I'm not exactly sure. I didn't look into it too much. I just saw a couple trailers, and I'm like, that looks new and different. Why not?
Interesting.
So, Raz, I have to ask you, what do you think of basically a third of the PlayStation 4 launch titles being indie games and not full releases, but being touted as, like, full games and full releases? Like, the Xbox One, for example, all of their games, the exception of, like, I guess maybe, like, the Kinect Sports or, like, Just Dance, all of those are, like, full, actual, physical, disc-based releases. What do you think of the difference in marketing between the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One on that front?
Okay. Kinect Sports Rivals and Just Dance, yeah, those are games, obviously I don't know really not a lot of people that play those games. I think PlayStation is just, I guess, going, they like indie games, that's one of the big selling points, like Toad said, and they're probably full-fledged games, just not made by full AAA developers. I mean, in terms of exclusives, they're pretty, I think, in my opinion, evenly matched of what's coming out on release date. I mean, for Xbox One, you got Rise, you got Forza. What else is coming out that I don't know?
There is actually a full list that maybe, if Toast is nice, he will include in the very bottom of this, but I will read them off to you. Just kind of pull up the link.
I'm still kind of eating my chicken, so.
right here. So.
It's hey, Raz, choice. Is there grizzle in your chicken? Ba-dunks.
Oh.
It could be anything you...
Yeah. Okay, so for the PS4, all of its launch titles, that'll be available on the 15th of November is Assassin's Creed 4, Battlefield 4, Blacklight Retribution, Call of Duty Ghosts, DC Universe Online.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Matt, but why don't we just make it just exclusives? So we all know what triple A's are coming out of. Third party games.
Let me compare. It looks like for the PS4, Blacklight Retribution, DC Universe Online, Dive Kick, Drive Club, Killzone Shadowfall, Knack, Pinball Arcade, Resogun,
what?
Super Motherload, Switch Galaxy Ultra, Tiny Brains, Warframe, War Thunder, and that's it.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I love War Thunder on my PC. I'm playing the hell out of that right now.
I am like, I don't even know what to say. Pinball. That's totally why Raz is getting it, because there's fucking pinball.
Yeah.
No. Well,
Xbox One has Peggle 2, so.
I've had Xbox One. Is what coming out day one, Xbox One.
Day one, Xbox One, you have exclusives Crimson Dragon, Dead Rising 3, Fighter Within, Forza 5, Killer Instinct, Loco Cycle, Peggle 2, Power Star Golf, Rise, Son of Rome, Zoo Tycoon, and Zumba Fitness World Party.
So you guys are getting the Xbox One for Peggle then, right?
Oh yeah, basically.
Yep. Definitely.
But, of course, why not?
Those titles aren't very impressive to me.
I personally am going to make the argument that neither's list is kind of impressive to me.
I would agree with you on that point.
A lot of the things that I'm getting in the next gen, I'm not getting at launch, which is one of the reasons why I've also... I'm willing to put off getting my Xbox One for money reasons if need be, but I want to get the day one just because it has the special day one engraving thing on it. I'm that much of a dork with it.
I need the special day one day achievement.
Yep, I want that. I want an achieve. Oh, okay. The one thing that I will say that has bugged me about the Xbox One is that you get achievements for watching TV.
Yeah. No. They split it up between achievements and challenges and...
Well, that also kind of goes to achievements in general. I feel achievements are getting too easy in games in general, to be completely honest. You load up the game and you get 4 fucking achievements within the first 15 minutes.
Well, I like achievements, though. They're beautiful. I love those things.
But they used to mean something.
I really don't care about achievements or trophies. I just want to play the game.
I'm a total completionist.
Like, I hate games, like, when you're playing through a campaign, like, you don't get achievements for, like, completing, like, a mission. Or, like, a large section of the game, like, you want to feel, like, rewarded. Like, in addition to what you've done in the game, like, have it compound on you. So people can, like, track your progress and see how far you've gotten in the game. And then it counts towards something, you know? Yeah. It's just me.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, most of the titles that I'm looking forward to aren't coming out for a while. And to be completely honest, they are cross-platform. They could go either way. But yeah.
That's gonna be the thing with me. A lot of the cross-platform games I'm looking forward to.
Yep.
I'm probably gonna get both by the time Titanfall comes out. And it's gonna come down to what are all my friends gonna be playing on. A lot of my friends, like I said, are getting PlayStation, but then again, they might be getting Xbox. I have a lot of friends that are split. And you know, with the Border and Conflict community, obviously everyone's gonna be getting an Xbox One because, hey, our community is based off of Halo. So it's not surprising that everyone's going Xbox One, Xbox One, Xbox One.
Well, not necessarily. And one of the reasons why I say that is because we're still going to be on the 360 for a while till Halo 5 comes out. So
Yeah. I'm not surprised with that either. That happened when the Xbox 360 came out. A lot of people still had original Xboxes playing Halo 2 until Halo 3 came out.
But yeah, but the Xbox 360 was backwards compatible, so Halo 2 worked on your 360, which is why that transition is a lot easier than what this transition presents us with, because none of the consoles are backwards compatible because fun and stuff.
Well, they have talked about it as a possibility, and it might come out somewhere halfway between when it launches in Halo 5, but again, that is being optimistic.
Yeah, with the PS4 with Gaikai, and then with the Xbox One with the cloud computing services, We don't know who's going to win in that fight. Probably PS4 with backwards compatibility, because they've already been talking about it. But with that PlayStation Vita TV, it looks like for $100, you can get backwards compatibility with, like, pre-PlayStation 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, what else? That $100 product, yeah, you've caught up to the cost of the Xbox One, but you get backwards compatibility now.
What I like about it, too, is if, you know, it doesn't really concern me, but for someone that has a family, maybe, and, you know, your wife or your kids want to use the main TV, you can use that PS Vita TV, go to your bedroom or something, if you have a TV in there, hook it up, and you can stream your PS4 games off that, which is pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I mean, I'm probably not going to get it right away. I don't see any reason to get it for me, but I wanted to go back. Do you guys remember the original Xbox 360 dashboard blades?
Oh, that was great.
I miss those, man.
Those
simple. I love that. I loved it.
Well, other than the fact that it took 9 years to load everything.
Yeah. Except that, but I still thought it was pretty neat.
But it's still faster than downloading and installing a game on the PlayStation 3.
That I wanted to look. I don't understand that. I mean, I haven't had a PS3. I don't really own a PS3. I actually did just order a PS3, so I can't really comment on the slow download speeds.
Like, my dad had a PS3, and we're currently selling it on eBay to see some money for it. But, like, trying, like, on the rare occasion I would play that game, I would have to set aside, like, 2 hours before I wanted to play it to download all the updates to the PlayStation console, and then the time for installing the game off the disc. It's just like, why are you taking so long? It's kind of ridiculous. And then, like, wiping the console and, like, starting it from fresh so I could sell it. Like, that took, like, 4 hours to do it. And it's only a 60-gigabyte hard drive in my PlayStation. Like, no. It's just so dumb. The Xbox 360 took, like, 5 minutes, and it was completely formatted.
That
makes no sense.
That's one thing I'm worried about with the PS4, you know, Xbox Live versus PlayStation Network, how their services are going to, you know, compare. And, you know, I always had Xbox. It was always fast. I had PS3 briefly. I didn't really notice a difference in terms of downloading. So it's going to come down to, for me, I think, I'm not saying I'm 100% PlayStation. I'm not 100% Xbox One. I'm going to get both. I'm going to see which one's better, and we'll see which one I'm be playing more. I just had an Xbox 360 last gen, current gen, only because of 4 and Conflict. I didn't, you know, feel the need to get a PlayStation 3. I've always been playing Halo with you guys, but now I want to broaden my horizons and play a lot of games since I don't have to deal with 4 and Conflict all the time. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, so hopefully Sony puts the infrastructure in place so that there's a lot of servers out there so that downloads won't be like all these people trying to download from like a single server type thing, which is what the issue has been a lot with the PlayStation 3 currently, is they don't have a wide server base. So there's only a couple centers in the continental United States where people can download their stuff from. But with Xbox and Microsoft, you know, 300,000 servers, I don't think we'll be running into that problem at all in any way, shape, or form.
Well, especially now that PlayStation 4 is requiring PlayStation Plus to play multiplayer, you would think that they would improve their infrastructure and servers with that.
But it could just be Sony trying to recuperate from all the money they've bled from the PlayStation 3 launch and then current, because Sony as a brand isn't doing too hot in comparison to Microsoft, which just has money coming out the wazoo. Because it's such a diverse company that's doing well.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. If they do have a server issue, I don't see it being resolved the launch of the PS4. I see them resolving that issue if they can get enough people to buy into the PS4 and PS4-related items at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they'll have some kind of money to work with.
It's looking pretty good now. They already have over 1 million pre-orders.
Yeah, they do. They're already looking real, real strong this time around.
Yeah. Like, with lifetime sales, like, an 80 million for, like, either console, though. 1 million in pre-orders, I don't think is great for either console.
No. I mean, it's just getting started, but I was talking to one of my buddies at Gearbox, and he had a chance to play both consoles, and he thinks that both consoles are going to do very well this gen. There's not going to be one bad console. I think it's just going to be a great time for gamers. It's going to be a great time. I'm just going to shift here a little bit. Did you guys talk about the controllers a little bit at all?
We haven't yet.
No, just a little bit.
I can go ahead and give my quick little opinion on that if you'd like.
Yeah.
I've liked PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3. They all had great games on them, whether it be exclusives or anything like that. I could never fucking stand the controller for two reasons. One, I hated both joysticks being close together like that. It irked me for some reason. And two, I always felt like I was going to break them. PlayStation controllers have always felt like really cheap, brittle plastic that I'm going to snap in half with my large man hands.
Yep.
Xbox has never given me that feel, and so I love the way their controllers feel. I feel they're more ergonomic. I feel they're more sturdy. So yeah, and I have a feeling that's probably going to continue into the next generation as well.
Yeah, okay. Just from the start, like with the original Xbox, the Duke controller, like that thing was a piece of work. Like you were not going to break that thing at all. So Microsoft has always been really good on that front. But like the only PlayStation controller that I've ever felt was good was a limited edition white chocolate controller that my dad bought for the PS3 while he was in Japan. So maybe Japan gets better products, but like the ones that came with the original launch PS3 that were kind of translucent, like they feel really, really, really cheap. But like the special edition one that I got, where it was just like white with all the buttons being black, it was like, that was the only sturdy PlayStation controller that I've ever used. And then the whole joysticks being concave versus convex, like you need that dip in to feel like, it just feels right when the joystick dips in the middle to place your thumbs. Like, Xbox does that so much better. And then finally with the PlayStation 4, they're trying to kind of even it out. But just like, I never could play shooters on the PlayStation consoles because their joysticks were just so weird.
I
can't stand them.
I agree with you guys. I mean, I had a PlayStation 3. I went over to my buddy's house. I played with the PlayStation 3 controller, and once I had the Xbox 360 controller, I could never go back. Now, there's an article on Kotaku. I don't have it with me right now, but I remember reading it a while ago, and I think it was at PAX, and people's reactions, like regular people, like who had the money to go to PAX, like you and me, regular gamers, had their hands on with both controllers, and a lot of Xbox 360 hardcore diehard 360 fans preferred the PS4 controller over the Xbox One controller. It doesn't look like it's a big difference, and I wanted to talk about that again because my buddy at Gearbox, who's also a longtime Xbox user, preferred the PlayStation 4 controller. It looks like they've done something different, in my opinion. It looks like it's bigger. It's a lot of people are saying it has more heft to it. It looks like it's going to be a better controller this time around. I mean, from what I've been reading and all the opinions, it's looking good. It really is. And I can't wait to get my hands on it, so I can either be rejoiced and be like, finally, a PlayStation controller I can use, or be like, fuck, it looks like I'll be going back to Xbox again because the controller sucks.
Yeah, so finally, both consoles will have decent controllers. Imagine that.
I'll be interested to compare the two, like, you know, through a friend that has a PS4 or whatever, because just from what I can see, like, the way that they look, they don't look like either one has deviated from their norm very much, but you know, who knows?
It doesn't look like it, but when you compare the two, like the current gen, the 360 is a little bit bigger than the PS3. But this upcoming gen, it looks like the PS4 controller, DualShock 4, is bigger than the Xbox One's. And that struck me as like,
Has anyone ever like gotten them both in their hands and compared them side by side? Because I don't think, other than devs, which can't post photos.
I don't think anyone's been able to do that. You know, there's photos compared to the two.
But they can be taken at different angles and different heights, different distances. So yeah. I don't know if actual, like, physical specs, like, this much long by this height has actually been taken yet, so this is all conjecture until we figure out what's actually going on.
God damn it, Max wants the numbers.
Trust me, when both consoles are released, and once we get both hands on them, I'm sure we'll all be talking about, you know, the controllers.
We'll all be comparing our sizes.
Yeah. Just make sure you contact me, because I'll be getting PlayStation 4 day one, and I'll give you my honest, brutal opinion about it.
Sounds like a podcast event.
Yes, it does. All right, guys, so we've had Raz on here for quite a bit. We're pushing about a half hour now. I know people have things to do, places to go, people to see. Any closing remarks you'd like to make or any shout-outs to the community, Senor Raz?
Well, just wanted to say, hope the community's doing well. I mean, I've been kind of out of the loop, which I kind of like. It seems like you guys are doing fine. Just continue on and have some fun. And if you guys are getting a, if any of you guys have a PS3, make sure to add Raz_Vader. So I'll be making an account probably in the next 2 days.
But then you'll probably be changing it within the next 10 days. And then 2 months from now, you'll be changing it. No one will know what it is anymore. It'll be like something like Raz Cocoon or something stupid like that.
Raz Cocoon. Huh. Actually,
yeah,
Max.
All right, guys. So I'm going to go ahead and shoot you guys over to a break while we let Raz take off. Stay tuned for the next section of the podcast. I haven't totally decided which one it is yet, so this will be interesting. But all things considered, don't change that now.
And welcome back into the FC podcast. I think I speak for both myself and Max when I extend a very warm thank you to Raz for coming on to the show.
By warm, we mean genuine and not, like, hot. Just clarification.
Well, I thought we meant hot because neither of us are wearing pants, but okay.
I am wearing pants, and the fact that you aren't wearing pants kind of concerns me. So let's move on to what we're going to talk about.
I am
about.
Not okay with this. You lied to me in the sexy text messages you sent me, including
the pictures.
I have
done no such things. My name is not Anthony Weiner / Carlos Stanton.
Anyway, so of course this is our final segment where we're going to address our listener mail, which y'all motherfuckers should be sending in, but you are not. Only Adrian is. So Adrian's first one has a bunch of frowns, two eyes using colons, and then two sad faces using parentheses. I don't really know how I'm supposed to pronounce that title. And it reads, "Oh hey fuckers and all that BS, blah blah, don't fucking diss the fucking two fucking dick shit. It is an awesome idea." He's referring, of course, to the Nintendo 2DS. He goes, "It won't snap in half like that bullshit 3DS. P.S. The 3DS is bull fucking rape ass motherfuck shit bitch. Retro or whatever. Fuck 3D mode. It hurts people's eyes. Save the dollars. Fancy. Can play all the 3DS games. Fancy. Cheap, 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 cheap." And that is all. Yeah. He then sends us in a second one. That has a picture entitled Toast Swaggin. Which I'm not going to include in the forums. He starts it off by saying, "Homestuck is fucking the best fucking thing ever, you foolish fool poop lord. You just need to read a couple thousands pages if you're a tight ass to find it awesome." I'll disagree. I got rather far into Homestuck. I didn't count it. But it still is pretty much crap. Max, don't check it out ever.
Wasn't planning on it.
I'm busy, tap, 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 and then he has a picture of me, I guess. It's supposed to be me with sunglasses and a very odd neck.
Yeah.
And it says, "Toast, this is you." And then he says, "Why, hello, you beautiful podcast host. Toast and comment, like, subscribe." "It is me, the amazing Frank Adrian from the North, granting you with another piece of listener mail." Puts Beaglepuss on. "I deeply apologize for my previous email. Something you said triggered a long-sealed rage inside of me. Don't fucking diss the 2DS, okay?" He then continues, "I would freaking love hide and seek at the Olympics. Then I would have a reason to watch it." And then he begins to say that, number one, so everybody is excited for GTA 5, but he's not. He freaking hates GTA, and he doesn't know why, but he can't stand the franchise. Might be that he hates third-person shooters, or that he finds no interest in realistic shooters. He doesn't know. Also, he agrees with you, Rocka, which I'm assuming he means Max here, and he says, "Fuck Watch Dogs." So, yeah, you're a horrible person. GTA is awesome, and Watch Dogs is also awesome, despite what Max says.
It seems like a plot devoid version of GTA. At least GTA has a plot.
Well,
I haven't said much about the plot of the game. They just
can't
game
tell
the mechanics,
Watch Dogs.
And that alone doesn't sell a game for me.
You can't, and I would agree. I buy games solely for their plot. But what I'm saying is you cannot judge as to whether or not Watch Dogs has a plot before the game comes out.
Yeah, but if you're not even telling us anything about the game, it doesn't give me any incentive to buy it.
Cyberpunk, that is all. His second thing is, he says, number two, he believes the Xbox One will sell more in the U.S. The USA loved the previous ones, and the Xbox One is not that bad, really. The Xbox One will not sell good in Europe, though, because Europeans are retarded, and he says to note that he is European. Also, he says that when he heard Yuigi on the podcast, this was a while ago, by the way, before I had Max when I did the solo cast, he says he was like, this is not him. He then continues to say that he really loves the way the Xbox 360 fucks up his voice. It's cute. I don't know if that was towards my voice or towards Urias's voice, but either way, I'm a little creeped out.
Okay.
Max, can you operate as my lawyer here? I'm going to need
to
draft
talk about payment
order.
First. Payment first, and then, you know, Better Call Saul.
Oh, I thought you'd do it for me because I'm a friend. Whatever.
Yeah, payment first. Money talk.
He then continues, he would love playing Team Fortress 2 with all of us. Team Fortress 2, rather, with all of us. But recently he reformatted his computer because he had to. He had a virus that was essentially wrecking shit, and he lost all his artwork, games, pictures, music, etc. The funny thing is, it was unnecessary. It just weakened it. I apologize for doing something to try to get rid of a virus and having it not work. I know that feel.
All the feels.
He then says what the virus is doing is it's restricting his internet connection, making it impossible to connect to pages like FC, Tumblr, etc., which is pretty much what he uses the computer for. Dick move, virus, I agree. Anything that stops you from viewing FC is definitely a problem.
It's evil.
He then states that Hunger Games is smelly poop, and I'd agree. I hate Hunger Games. He says the hope that Halo 5 story is... The hope that Halo 5 story is not going to be shit. There's a period there. That is a invalid sentence, my friend, but I think what he's saying is that he has hopes that the Halo 5 story is not going to be shit. To which I say, I agree. He also denotes that he buys the Halo games for their entertaining and interesting campaigns, and he doesn't want it to go Call of Duty style, just focusing on multiplayer. Completely agree. We don't need another game like Call of Duty. We don't even need Call of Duty for that matter.
Exactly.
He also says that nobody cares about the PS4 Rockistanky. Rockitansky. Never mind. And I'm assuming again that he's referring to Max. Why is he calling you that?
I don't know. Maybe I translate to something weird in his language, and when we translate it, sit back. It's awkward.
Like, I'm so confused. Like, normally I get the reference because it's like Mad Max or something like that. I just don't get this one. And then he says, oh, fag. Seriously, MC bikers are really big fags. In case what you guys don't know what he's referring to there is, I was talking about South Park's definition of fag, and if you guys haven't seen that episode, you should. It's hilarious. They're pointing out Harley Davidson writers. Anyway, and then he says, peace, T. And then he says, wow, holy shit, that was a messy listener mail. Yes, it was.
Indeed.
And then his final piece of his three-part listener mail is in reference, actually, to the outro music, if you listened to it on Podomatic or iTunes last week, or not the podcast, rather, the newscast. And I sent you guys out with a song by a group that I believe is pronounced Ylvis? Ylvis? Not sure. Anyway, it was What Does the Fox Say? Actually, I think it's just called The Fox, but anyway. And he says, not a fucking band, a comedy duo. Well, interesting story here. I actually had a conversation with Adrian about this. He will be on the show in the weeks to come, actually, to discuss music with Max and myself. And I would make the point that technically the word band is a little bit of a looser term, and because they are a group that did produce music and wrote it themselves, whether they are comedy or not, they are still a band. Much in the way that I would also make the argument that Flight of the Conchords, despite being a comedy duo, could be considered a band.
Yeah, true story.
Max is totally disengaged and not paying attention to what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Max is a horrible... You know what? I think I'm going to replace Max as a co-host. Next thing to include in your listener mail is why you feel that you'd be a better co-host than Max.
Everyone knows that they can't do what I do, except that I keep doing all the Twitter stuff. So technically, they could just compile the stuff that I do and then read them off like I do. So, mention the subject. Now people have ideas. Now I'm an expendable asset. But now I'm on red. So now you have a red host and a blue host. So I still kind of win in that aspect. So Toast, you really love me, you know it. You should apologize.
I won't apologize, but I would love to hear people's responses to how they could be a better co-host than you. I think it would be interesting. And for that matter, also include in your listener mail how you could be a bigger ass than I am. It'd be kind of interesting to hear. So with that, guys, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. Of course, stay tuned. This upcoming Monday, we're going to have released the next FC newscast. It'll be the second one. This week, we're going to get a lot more into the FC stuff because battles are going to pick back up and whatnot. So definitely stay tuned for that, guys.
Don't forget about the contest.
What was that, Max?
Don't forget about the contest. You need to make us things. It's another reminder. Because you haven't been reminded enough times. We need stuff for our intros and our outros or art for our podcast stuff. We would love to have it because we love you. We want you to be loved and for FC to love you and for us to be loved by FC. So you just, you know, spread the love and do some work for us, and you might win Microsoft points, because that'd be awesome. And everyone knows Microsoft points, even though they're not really valid anymore, but they still transfer in. I have tested it. It works.
I'm not going to lie. You sounded a lot like Blackhawk there.
I'm going to go find the nearest bridge and jump off of it.
You sounded like Blackhawk in your diction, in your mannerisms. But anyway, yes, guys, the contest is still going on. We still haven't received any entries, so I can't really call it to a close. This might come down to if just one person sends it in, they're gonna win, which is lame, because it's not a contest then.
Yeah, bonus points if you auto-tune the introduction I did and make it awesome and dubsteppy.
Yes, if you redo the intro that Max gave us with the whole, you know, Bullshot's Charge and all that, where he was parodying the Bungie podcast, and you do something awesome with that, you will insta-win. I'll put it that way.
Win all the things.
You will win all the things, and you will actually be the reason why we can have nice things for once.
Amen.
So with that, guys, again, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you'll catch us this upcoming Monday, and again, next Friday. We should be on a schedule now where they're released Friday and Monday. From everybody here at the FC Podcast team, we're reminding you to always remember to stay classy.
And at least my name isn't Forbidden Jackass.
I never thought I'd be blowing up on everything, but turn it up so you can hear me now. You know I got it, I'm about to get it started, and I'ma keep it 100 level, I'ma keep it rocking. And if you with me, you can go and tell them all that we never gonna fall down, always gonna ball out. Say what you want, but you know we do it real big. Hey, we do it real big. Station. I'm always tuned into that channel motivation. Too much of that, you can't handle me, cause it's only day one. I'm trying to be the unordinary, you know it's me, and I'm functionary, so just hit play once, then let's go. Got a flow so cold, gonna get froze. Everybody got a punchline, but nobody got a drumline. They don't know how to get those. I'm looking through a Mac, not a window. I'm looking to attack, not defend though. Gonna run it for the pack, gonna do it my way. Gonna let the beat build to crescendo. Yeah, you can't touch my tempo. I run the score up tenfold. I set the place on fire like I'm Denzel, and I'm then some. But it's us now on all fronts, transcendence, a consensus. We're moving on up like Jefferson's. The energy, it's infectious. Nobody ever did it like we do it. Wanna miss this? Everybody witness circle fitness. Wanna flip the switch from quick or wit? Keep up, either sink or swim. I can rap it fast or I can rap it slow. I'm a virtuoso singing code of comb. We're about to start when you hope it's over. Maybe start it small, but everybody gonna know, cuz
we are going to the moon. We on a level that's 100 up above you. Don't think we coming back soon. So every night when you wake up, gonna be us, is I was born to fly. Said I was made for the sky, to fly up in high beams. If you try to find me, yeah, that's true, cause we going to the moon.
LNC, because we're rugged, doing something every day, making music out of nothing. Got a marching band playing, feel like I'm conducting. Set your expectations high, but you know we'll always rise above them. Yeah, been voted the hip-hop nominee. Everybody wanna talk to me when I stomp a beat. They're saying talk is cheap, but I'm free. Everybody come follow me. You'll see I probably can fix the economy better than who's that? Mitt Romney, but that's politics. This music and in that, you know we dominate. I'm screaming carpe diem, it's my day and I'm gonna seize it. Never lose you, best believe it. Russell Crowe in a coliseum. You know there's no off-season, no hope will be defeated. So drop the beat when you rock with me, we on top, yeah, you can feel it. You can try to cop my atmosphere, better lock it down with my sound, you hear it. On a level with no one near it, a pharaoh top of the pyramid. Better use a satellite, Sirius, in orbit, yeah, I'm an alien. Not Wayne, but I'm more like Bruce, and I shoot cause I came to win. My range is infinite, I ain't legitimate. Wait for the day when they play me big and you can't get away from it.
We are going to the moon, we on a level that's 100 up above you. Don't think we coming back soon. So every night when you look up, you know it's gonna be us. Cause I was born to fly. Said I was made for the sky, to fly up in high beams. If you try to find me, yeah, that's true, cause we're going to the moon. Yeah, we're going to the moon. And we're too high up for you.
Yeah, I'm looking down upon the ground now. A symphony of sound everywhere around now. Circle and surround sound, cause now we live in high def till the death. Keep everybody guessing what's next. Cause we're stepping up and we're repping us, and we're leveled up, we can't get enough. You try keeping up, you can't speed with us. You try reaching, but we're past Venus. Yeah, music's my heart up on my sleeve. So long as it beats and I can breathe, now I'm gonna be me. We
are going to the moon. We on a level that's 100.